Not only is there a reference to the Lord's unlimited power, but God's work has a future because Christ's people are to be saved. Christ's people are to be saved. Now, I've been touching on that, but let's come to it now. In the words of verses 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now, in those words, we have what's often called the Great Commission, and that's perfectly fine, because that's exactly what these men are hearing. The Lord's commissioning them to go.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. And welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church in Surrey, BC. We are located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey. We want to give to you and your family a very warm invitation to join us for the Western Bible Conference 2026. This conference is organized by several churches within our denomination, and it is being hosted in our Cloverdale Church this July. The meetings commence on Friday, the 31st of July, continue on Saturday, the 1st of August, and conclude on Sunday, the 2nd of August. Our speaker will be Pastor Logan Elder, who is the minister of Orlando Free Presbyterian Church in Florida in the United States. And our brother will be coming to preach at those meetings. The details of the times will be on our website. So do go to our website and visit it to get that information. www.cloverdalefpc.ca. cloverdalefpc.ca. We are looking forward to a blessed time. And on our program today and throughout the course of this month, we are considering messages that have been preached at these conferences in past years. Today we're going back to last year and to our conference that was held in Calgary. The preacher is Pastor John Greer from Ballymena in Northern Ireland, and his subject is God's Work Has a future. May the Lord bless the ministry of His Word to your soul.
And what does Paul say in Philippians 2? He says there so clearly, when you read from verse 8 through to verse 11, concerning Christ being found in fashion as a man, He suffered unto death, even the death of the cross. And the next verse says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him. Do you see the connection? Christ is exalted. All power is His, invested in Him. It's because He suffered unto death, even the death of the cross. Brethren and sisters, the Church of Jesus Christ is built upon the basis of the Lord having suffered, the law being satisfied, God's eternal decree fulfilled, and therefore God raising His Son up and giving Him all power to do across the nations what you and I are praying to see happening. That is, Christ building His church. But the wonderful thing is, in His unlimited power, this authority is mentioned here, He does build His church, and He's doing it even as a reward of His suffering. And that power, therefore, was given to Him for that reason, to reward Him for His sufferings, and also that He might fulfill His own purposes. That word power, as I say, signifies authority, but it has more to it than that. And I haven't time to go into the word in any great depth tonight, but the word for power here, this word meaning authority, it signifies freedom of action. It signifies the right to act. Now, have you got a hold of that? This is the authority that Christ has. It's an authority in which He has freedom of action. He has the right to act. And furthermore, irresistibly so. And unstoppably so. No one, the Lord is telling these men, can stop me from building my church, because I have an authority that is filled with this freedom and this right to do what the triune God has purposed to do in a fallen world among a sinful humanity. And that is gather out a people from every nation under heaven. And that's exactly what is happening as I speak to you. It has been happening down through time. God is calling out a people. He said that to Abraham. He mentioned that great fact to Abraham. He said to Abraham, in thee and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Way back, thousands of years before the Lord was ever born, God was revealing, and progressively so, that every nation on the face of the earth was going to be blessed through Abraham's seed. The Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the purpose of God in His great covenant of redemption, to bless the nations, to save a people. And Christ is now saying, that will happen. My power is unlimited. My authority, my freedom to act, my right to act cannot be restricted. And of course, the Lord exercises and executes that authority and that freedom by the Holy Spirit, by the agency of the Holy Ghost. Turn to Acts chapter 2, please. And look with me there in Acts 2 at verse 32. And Peter on the day of Pentecost brings his great message that you have recorded in Acts 2. And of course, there's only given to us here a synopsis of that message. It's not everything that Peter said that day recorded here. It's just part of it, obviously, because you could read through Acts 2 in a few minutes. And I can guarantee you Peter preached for more than a few minutes. Anyhow, verse 32, Peter says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Now, if we had time to keep on reading here down through these verses, you find that on the basis of Peter's reference to the exaltation of Christ, to being at the right hand of the Father, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, what happened on this occasion came about as a result of a reference to the exalted Christ and the coming of the Holy Ghost. So when the Lord said to the disciples in Acts 28, "All authority is mine, the right to act is mine," he's telling them, "I will act, I will work." But you see, it's further explained to us by Peter's words in Acts 2 that the Lord's right to act was channeled through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And therefore Christ is reigning. All authority is his. The right to act is his. It was given to him as the reward of his sufferings, and it was given to him that he might fulfill his own purposes, to evangelize the world and gather out his people, which he always has been and is still doing by the power and the might of his Spirit. And let me tell you something, he will keep on doing that until he comes again. The Holy Ghost will never be withdrawn from this world. He will be here. He's the executor of the Godhead. He is the one who is sent forth by the Father and the Son. He is taking all of the message of redemption. He's applying to people's lives the benefits of redemption. He's bringing home to sinners in their darkness the light of the gospel. He's bringing to them the great news of the forgiveness of sins. He's applying to their souls, to their hearts and their lives, the power to overcome sin, the great freedom that's found in Christ. This is going on all the time because Christ has the authority to do so. The power given to him by the Father, this unlimited power that I'm speaking about at this stage in this message. The future of God's work is secure. There's no doubt about it because of the unlimited power of Jesus Christ. And that's the essence of that power. It's a power invested in him and executed by the work of the Holy Spirit. Then the extent of that unlimited power. It tells us here in verse 18, in heaven and on earth. Those words signify that which is universal. You see, the entire world is under the headship of Christ. The natural world, for example, is under the headship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1 verse 3 tells us that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Or Colossians 1 and verse 17, by him all things consist. And the words there literally read, by him all things hang together. And that's a reference to the whole universe. All things are upheld by the word of his power. Hebrews 1, all things hang together. They are brought together and they are kept together by the power of Jesus Christ. And the wonder of it is, the Lord's continually speaking, and all things are upheld. It says it there in Hebrews 1, he upholds all things by the word of his power. You see, at the very beginning, when all was created, as you read in Genesis chapter 1, how was it created? Down through Genesis 1, and God said, there's the word. And Christ is the Word. And that's a reference to Christ. That's Christ speaking. The Spirit is there, moving, as we're told in Genesis 1. But Christ is speaking, and Christ said, let there be light. And all that then flows out of that. And step by step, everything was created by the Word. Psalm 33, verse 6 is a wonderful summary of that. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. God spoke. I mean, God the Son spoke. And immediately, what He ordained to be made came into existence. And down through the generations of time, all creation is upheld by our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the natural world is under the Lord's headship in those terms of creation and what you see around you. The planets and the seas and everything is under the control of Christ. And my dear friend, let me tell you tonight, that is very important. When you read in Genesis chapter 6 and 7 about the flood that came upon the world in the days of Noah, what happened immediately after it? God gave the rainbow a sign in the heavens that never again would the world be destroyed by a flood. Now, why did God uphold this world? Why did God covenant that the world would never be destroyed again by a flood? Why? Because this world, I mean the physical earth, was to be the theater of redemption. Everything in the Bible is tied under the great doctrine of redemption. It was on this world that Christ was to be born. It was into this world that Jesus Christ was going to come. And on this earth, He was going to live a sinless life and die His atoning death and rise from this earth back to glory, but not abandon the earth. And therefore, He's upholding everything in the natural world for the sake of those who are given to Him by the Father. Let me tell you something. Nothing can destroy the physical world until the end, when the Lord will burn it with fire. And that will even destroy it. But that's not purpose to destroy it. That's purpose to cleanse it and renovate it to become part of the abode of the saints throughout the endless ages. And I say that in passing because we live on that day when foolish, darkened men are always talking about saving the planet. And they are foolish and darkened. If they would just take themselves to the Bible, they would save themselves an awful lot of trouble and an awful lot of expense as well. Not only that, it'd save you and I an awful lot of trouble. If they just read their Bibles, there's no such thing as any earthly power being able to destroy this world. It will not happen. Genesis chapter 8, the final verses. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, day and night, summer and winter, cold and heat, shall not cease. It's going to continue on. You know why? Because God's working in the nations to gather out His elect, and therefore He's upholding the earth, and it will continue to the end. The natural world, it includes man, you see. The Lord said, as He prayed in John 17 and verse number 3, He said this, Thou hast given Him, that's Christ, Thou hast given Him authority, the word power again, but it means authority, over all flesh. Another wonderful statement. Evil men think they are in charge. They believe that they're running the world. But the Bible says Christ has authority over all humanity. And that is currently the case. And that has never been anything else but the case. And never will be anything else but the same case. The Lord is upholding all things. And He is ruling over men as I speak to you. As this great head and king of all things. You and I are living in a world that's filled with darkness. The powers of hell are rampant. And I must say this, that not only is the natural world under the Lord's control, but so also is the supernatural world. There is a world of the supernatural. And of course, that includes the good angels, or as Paul calls them in 1 Timothy, the elect angels. There was a portion of the angels that did not sin. They did not fall. And Hebrews 1:14 tells us something more about them, that they are sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. I haven't time to go down that road tonight, but let me tell you, the Lord's angels, the holy angels, they minister to you and me. You find that in Scripture over and over again, taking Christ himself, for example. They were present at his birth. They were present when he rose from the dead. They were present when he ascended up. They sing his praise now in heaven. They go forth at his bidding to minister to us. And they'll accompany the Lord when he returns in power and in great glory. Why are the angels so important in Scripture? It's because they minister to the saints. It's all part of God's redemptive program. We have an unseen company of holy angels who are watching over Christ's people and Christ's work without intermission. And therefore, the extent of this power is phenomenal. I've been speaking there about the holy angels. There are the fallen angels. The Bible speaks clearly of that portion that fell with Satan. He was an angel. He fell, and he brought down a company of the angels with him. But fallen angels, which is really a reference to the demons, that myriad of fallen spirits under the headship of Satan, they are all under Christ's sovereign authority and power. They cannot touch the child of God unless the Lord permits it. Yes, the devil resists us, the devil hinders us, the devil fights us, the devil and his forces are against us. That is absolutely true. But we are not to take on board the fallacious idea that the devil's the one in charge of this old world, or in the charge of men, or that he can do what he likes. He can only act within the parameters of what the Lord permits him to do. And how blessed that is to our hearts. Think of these men in Matthew 28. Think of the day in which they lived. The first century. Read about the first century in Romans 1, the final part of that chapter. That great passage, that powerful passage where Paul in detail describes the Gentile world of the first century. And it was debauched. It was full of filth. It was full of every sin known to man. And into that world these men are being sent. And my dear friend, we might think that the world today is much more wicked than when Paul lived. Perhaps in, with regard to manifestation of things or the demonstration of wickedness, there is a much more open phase of it. But at the same time, there's not a sin that's practiced by man today that has never been practiced in the past. Not one of them. And there's not a force arrayed against the church today, even though they have all the technology and they're using it and all the means and methods, but there's not a force arrayed against the church that has not ever been arrayed before against the church. You've got to understand that. Because if we don't, will be filled with doubts. And if you listen to some preachers, it's little wonder many professing Christians are full of doubt and fear and hopelessness. Here's where the Lord starts as he shows these people that God's work has a future. Christ's unlimited power, a power, therefore, that he was going to exercise to build his church. I know the time's running on here, but quickly. For you and me.
Spurgeon brings us today to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 25. If thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. God's altar was to be built upon hewn stones, that no trace of human skill or labour might be seen upon it. Human wisdom delights to trim and arrange the doctrines of the cross into a system more artificial and more congenial with the depraved tastes of fallen nature. Instead, however, of improving the gospel, carnal wisdom pollutes it, until it becomes another gospel, and not the truth of God at all. All alterations and amendments of the Lord's own word are defilements and pollutions. The proud heart of man is very anxious to have a hand in the justification of the soul before God. Preparations for Christ are dreamed of. Humblings and repentings are trusted in. Good works are cried up. Natural ability is much vaunted. And by all means the attempt is made to lift up human tools upon the divine altar. It were well if sinners would remember that so far from perfecting the Saviour's work, their carnal confidences only pollute and dishonour it. The Lord alone must be exalted in the work of atonement, and not a single mark of man's chisel or hammer will be endured. There is an inherent blasphemy in seeking to add to what Christ Jesus in his dying moments declared to be finished, or to improve that in which the Lord Jehovah finds perfect satisfaction. Trembling sinner, away with thy tools, and fall upon thy knees in humble supplication, and accept the Lord Jesus to be the altar of thine atonement, and rest in him alone. Many professors may take warning from this morning's text as to the doctrines which they believe. There is among Christians far too much inclination to square and reconcile the truths of revelation. This is a form of irreverence and unbelief. Let us strive against it and receive truth as we find it, rejoicing that the doctrines of the word are on hewn stones and so are all the more fit to build an altar for the Lord. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.